Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kevin L. White, the American Allegiance Show. This is the first one of mine, and I appreciate it. Let me give some thanks out and hollers to Mark Hoffman, who is our boss man and owns this studio for us. And I'd like to say thank you. Mark Hoffman, if you were a military vet or a military pilot in training, you would be called probably Dustin or Dustin Hoffman. That's the nickname you probably get, maybe Hoffa. I'd like to thank James Bostick, my sound engineer tonight, my producer. Thank you, James. James is prolific at Old Time Radio and anything Star Trek. He's a genius. I had him on my show once, and he didn't get stumped by anything I said, any kind of trivia questions. We tried and tried. The man is a genius on that. Also, I'd like to thank Gary Benford, good friend of mine. He's also been on my show. I have a podcast in Ohio sponsored by my publishing company, the small business I talked about. Gary is a phenomenal man with a phenomenal career as a sports writer. And like I'm going to say this, you can catch his show every other Monday on this network, and you can catch James's show every Tuesday and Thursday. These guys are pros, and I'm trying to follow in their footsteps. So also, I'd like to thank Melissa Petri, who is the engineer on Sometimes. Every time you call in, that's the person you talk to before you get on the show. And our new guy, Ron Edwards, who's joining us soon. It's a privilege and honor to be in this stable with these people, professionals that do it every week. I'm only going to do this show every Wednesday. So let's talk about me for a little bit. Who am I? I'm Kevin L. White. On Facebook, I'm author Kevin L. White. Some things about me, I spent 30 years in the Air Force, in the military. I was an aircraft mechanic, and that's all I know. That's all about aviation. My order goes like this: God, family, country, and aviation. And that is true. That's just the way it is. I've done nothing but that all my life, and I've enjoyed every second of it. I even work for an airline and a program right now for the military. I'm in a program office at Wright-Patterson as a contractor. So I've done the trifecta of government work. I was in the military 30 years. I was a federal employee for 25 years. And I work for a contractor now. And I also worked as a screener. So think about this. The point of my show is about American allegiance and how government has taken over what we believe in. And we talk about the Pledge of Allegiance and how we salute the flag and everything, but we have to do more than just talk. And that's what the military is about. People in the military live the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't just say it. They do it every day. Every day of your life in the military is pledging the allegiance and following it all the way through. And that's just the way the military stays unchanged since the beginning. There are defense. We still have Minutemen, by the way. People don't know that. All the Minutemen are the National Guard troops, just like we saw in Washington, D.C. earlier this year. And the people that defend each state has a militia. So you talk about these guys you see on Facebook, saying they're bringing their F-15 home or their tank for defense based on what the president said, the corporate president, I must say, is who he is. Well, the truth is, all those pilots and all those Army guys are sworn to the Constitution. They will not take an order that is not lawful. And if you look at one of my podcasts, I interviewed 4 pilots, F-16 pilots, and those guys are American through and through because that's their job. That's all you do. The military is 100%, it's like a theme park of patriotism. Every base has red, white, and blue on it. Everything is a ceremony. It's 100% red-blooded, Constitution-loving Americans. The flag is everywhere. The flag's on the uniform. Flags on the planes. We take our stuff seriously. So don't think that we're like some banana republic that we're going to fold when it comes down to it. Our military will be there for us. It's the only part of government that is dedicated and it works. Like I said, in my past jobs, I know this. I was a federal employee for 25 years. I saw this firsthand, how there are differences between that and the military. The federal employees do have oversight, but once you get past that, the one thing about the military is the difference. The federal employees have a chain of command, but it's so huge. It's massive. It's like almost 1 million employees, and the chain is gigantic. But there's a lot of things that slip through the cracks. The good thing about the military is most people in the military are snitches. They have professional snitches, and they'll call you out if something's going wrong, and they will remove a commander or somebody who doesn't follow the rules. And these people know the rules in their heads, or they researched it. Everybody knows what the end goal is and what everybody's job is and what they're supposed to be doing. If you don't do it, you try to corrupt it, it's shot down. Somebody's going to catch you. So the big thing about the military, it's all about accountability. And that's what we don't have in our government. Our governors, our senators, our congressmen, they are on their own, making their own deals, not following the Constitution. They don't work for us. They work for themselves. And that's the problem when you do that, when you don't have any oversight. So more about me. I'm also an author, like I said. I wrote this book called Growing Up White. It's a play on my last name. Growing Up White, an Oreo's Guide to Fitting In. Because Oreos are people who are black on the outside, white on the inside, and they don't really fit in anywhere into the black or white culture. So I published that book in 2019 in December. I should have waited until 2020 the next day. So with that, I created this Brownie Fox Publishing Company, and that's where I produce more books, find more authors. And we have 3 books coming out later this month, or maybe the beginning of next month. It is not an easy task. You spend a lot of time working on editing and trafficking all these words and books and everything. There's a lot to it, and it's not cheap to do either with the government oversight of the way the books work. So then the last thing we'll talk about is me. I grew up as a military brat. My dad was in the Air Force, and I lived on Air Force bases, even lived overseas for 3 years of my life on a tropical island. So I'm kind of partial to warm weather, but I live in Ohio now. But, you know, I don't blame my father for taking us there and leaving, abandoning us. You know, that's just where everything fell. So I knew that when I got out of school, out of high school, I was going to join the military. I was going to join the Air Force or something like that, because that's all I knew. I felt more comfortable in the military as a dependent than I did in the civilian world. So that's what I did. I joined, and I do it again. I actually miss it. I got out on a medical, and now I wish I was still in. That's just, it's just what I know all my life. That's all I've known, and I enjoyed every bit of it. So I want to ask some questions here. I'm going to play a little game with James and maybe with Melissa a little later. Just warning you guys. So the flag. I'm not going to go through the Constitution. Everybody knows that. We all had it in school. But some people seem to miss the point here, what this is all about. it's all about rights. It's all about freedom. And all I see now are those rights being violated and those freedoms being taken away. So, and everything that matters is trivial to people. And that's a sad thing. We have a right, just like, let's talk about this COVID for a second. You have a right to get sick and to die. I mean, that's the fact right there. Why should the government say they have to keep you safe when that's not their job? You have the freedom. You can go travel this whole world or the whole, you know, expanse of the U.S. and you should do it as a free man. They can't make you. They cannot make you wear anything, a mask or whatever. That's not their business. So, and they can't tell you what to do with your body. And is it right? Is it a right thing to do? It is our right. They should not know if you've gotten the shot or not. That's none of their business. And somehow they do. They're going to come door to door trying to get people shots. And when they do, be ready for them. This is a new program they've already started. Biden made this roll out faster than anything I've ever seen. But they're going to come to your house and say, hey, we know you don't have the shot. Let's, you know, you brought some people here to help you do it safely. If it has to be that way, I wonder what's, you know, really in this shot. Why is this so big and it's less virulent than the flu itself? Why would it take a millionaire or $1 million lottery in Ohio for seven people or five people to get the shot? Something else must be behind it. That's the way I think. My whole life working in aviation, I've been a troubleshooter. That's been my job. And I do that with everything. I even do that with medical hacking, things like that. And so I see something that's not right. Doesn't make any sense. I question it. Now, because I was an airport screener, I saw the good side of how that works with you know, that was my job back in college. But I see how people treated each other, you know, as we treated the customers, and they, and we respected them. So now I see the screeners at the airports today, and they're all federalized. Look how different they are. They're not nice. They don't have to be. If we were mean, we didn't get the next contract. Our company would not get that bid. But in the federal government, they don't care. They have nothing to worry about. Their jobs are never going to go away. So the better customer service, I mean, they make people angry. I have a guy, a friend, that gets stopped every time he goes to the TSA because he was at the January 6th event in Washington, D.C., Presley Stutz. They take everything out of his bag when he goes there. These are not the things we want to talk about sometimes, but it's true. This is what's going on. So Presley, his rights are being violated. The point is, and they don't care. I myself have been stopped by the TSA in military uniform. And things like that are uncalled for. I mean, everybody's a suspect that's not really a suspect in their minds. The people that look like they might be suspects, they let go. Little kids, 90-year-old ladies or whatever. So the feds are everywhere. Have you noticed the federal government has an agency for everything? Think about how far our rights have eroded. The FAA controls the skies and the airlines. One little interesting fact here, the FAA does not belong, or the military does not go to the FAA, and they don't have jurisdiction. Maybe just the controllers. But somehow their safety work record is just as well. And I know this is a little controversial, but is the FAA that effective? Are they really keeping us safe? I worked for an airline for 3 years, and the things we saw, I don't know. They control a lot of things, and they have pop-up inspections and everything. And yet, they still have a lot of accidents. Is it that far-fetched that we could do really well without the FAA. Every pilot wants to get the plane back down on the ground safely. Is the FAA hampering the airlines? Why are they so monstrous? And they're huge now. And I have a lot of friends that work for the FAA. Nothing against them. So if you want to do something and make a modification of the aircraft, and I was a systems engineer, and we worked with engineering to implement new things in aircraft, and the things you had to do to get a piece of paper or a sticker in there is ridiculous. They had to pass burn certs. Well, I don't know. If the plane burns to that point, I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to catch on fire, but that's just me. So things are a little out of hand. Like, one of the worst things I've seen was every aircraft must have 2 ashtrays before it flies. And we have grounded aircraft because it didn't have 2 ashtrays. And keep in mind, you can't smoke on an airplane anyway. So what kind of sense does that make? As I said before, this is government out of control, stepping beyond the bounds of the Constitution. And let me iterate this real quick. This is not about Democrats or Republicans. This is about people who are for the Constitution. This has no party because both parties do the same thing. You're going to see Democrats and Republicans talk about our democracy. Well, there is no democracy under the Constitution. The Constitution says we are a republic, for the republic which it stands. There is no democracy. So, in my opinion, if you say something about a democracy, then you are against our country. You are against the Constitution. Therefore, you're an enemy of this country. That's just my opinion. Because you are going against the very precepts of the foundation of our country. And I have a problem with that. Because something more devious, either you don't know, you're not, versed in our Constitution, or you're doing this on purpose. You are purposely spreading this false information. And you see this all the time on TV, and people believe that this is a democracy because they hear it so many times from top leaders. And, it's sad to see that people don't know what they should know about the Constitution. Their job in the government is to keep us safe from our enemies, foreign and domestic, and that's the military's job. So it's up to my governor to keep a bar closed at 10 o'clock at night, as if things get worse at 11. Some things make no sense, but there are people, you get to see people's true colors and how far they're going to go to take your rights away when it hits the wall and COVID's here. People lose their minds and they think they have to do things to keep you safe. Stay away from my home. Stay away from my business. If I have a business, that's my business. If people die in it, that's my responsibility. It's not anybody else's. It's not up to you to tell me how to run my business. This is a free country, or it was. And again, we're getting so far away from where we came from. So, I also remember things that we do is our own business. Things that the government does, they're supposed to be supporting us. And that's not happening. Let me tell you a little thing that I learned a while ago about how people can govern themselves. In Bompte, Germany, they have 12,000 cars that go through that town every day. They took all the stop signs and traffic lights out. And guess what happened? People were more careful when they came to an intersection because they had to take the responsibility on their own. Not everything that's automatic is good for you or productive. A lot of countries in Europe are doing this now. They're putting in more roundabouts and taking away signs because they have more accidents that way. And accidents have dropped dramatically. Sometimes you've got a traffic light, turns green. I always stop and look. Is it safe? Is it really okay for me to go? Sometimes it's not because you got somebody who's not paying attention, who's blindly driving. And this is the kind of thing that I believe people are smarter than we're given credit for. And it's amazing on a military base or at some kind of government facility, the signs they have. I saw a sign today at work that said, that says, do not remove this sign. I started laughing. I almost took a picture of it. I know exactly. I think I'm going to go back and do that because it's hilarious. The funniest things that you think are obvious, you'll see that on a government base. Do not remove all these little things you would never imagine anywhere. I mean, people just go too far. Rules and regulations are off the chain. And all the hundreds of thousands of rules they've invented or they regulations they've invented since 1954 in effect. And it seems like people get graded and promoted because they make more of these. And it's kind of like a promotion kind of paradigm that a lot of government employees are stuck in. So now we have, let's talk about the freeways. They have their own NTSB. Why do they need a government agency to oversee freeways? Freeways belong to the states. And when you take that money from the federal government, then they pretty much own your freeways. So we need to be independent states, because if we don't, the government will take over. The government should not be in our schools. We should not have a Department of Education. These should all be funded locally. Now the government gives you these education things that aren't popular with most people, and we have to live with them. So also, there you go, stock market. Stock market is controlled by the SEC. They've got like three different federal agencies running that, and they don't do anything. Why? Because they can be bought out. I'm not saying they are, but people listen to money, just like our governor, some of them listen to money from the Chinese. I'm just going to say it plain just like that. That's what's happening, or other entities. So you got all these wealthy people on Wall Street. You don't think they can buy the government employees, and they're not making that much money. Okay, let me take a little break here to say this. As a federal employee, let me make something straight and clear. When they talk about essential employees, it is not what you guys are thinking that you see all the time. Essential employees are the people who are there to run the base bare bones or whatever facility they have. Everybody is an essential employee. Well, you can argue with me on that, but point is, those people know who they are. If you don't know, and that's what we say in the federal government, if you don't know if you're an essential employee, then you're not. These are the structural backbone people that are necessary to keep things going. And it's not even the troops sometimes. It's the people, the facilities people and everything. And only essential people can be there because they're taking care of business ahead of time. So I just wanted to drop that out because every time I hear that, I cringe. Well, if they're not essential, then we don't need them. Not true. So I hope you guys understand that. So, and the other thing is federal employees, your average federal employee, their retirement's not great. And you hear this all the time too. So I'm going to knock these myths down while I'm here. So you only get so much money, you know, a percentage. It's not like 80% like teachers do or other professions. It is more like 35%. So that's just how it works. And the average federal employee does not make what your congressmen and senators make. And there's a lot of people working hard. They have two jobs or whatever. So it's not the fantasy and paradise that people think it is. So just keep that in mind. Help out your federal employee. And by the way, as a side note, I want you guys to support your local Oreos that are in your town or the friends that you know, the guys at work. They need the help. If they're black, they act white. It's a tough life, trust me. I lived that all my whole life, and just a little note there. So there are many, many, as I said, agencies out there to control what you do. They control the food you eat. The FDA, are they really? I mean, I can tell when I eat something bad. I got something bad. Things go spoiling, you know, they'll spoil anyway. But what are they doing? Why are they at these? I mean, I'll tell you what. And this is a good example. When I was deployed, every time I get deployed overseas, I used to get deployed, the federal agencies ran the chow hall when we were over in Incirlik, Turkey. Well, people were getting sick inside the chow hall from salmonella. But every time we went off base, we'd buy the $4 lamb chops or something like that, the big giant meal and everything. It was like beautiful and delicious. No regulation. They want to make sure you don't get sick. And I believe that's what Americans want to do. They want to make sure that they do the right thing. They're not, I mean, these agents coming down to inspect your meat and everything. And, you know, there's like some kind of reward, some kind of attaboy when they find things, when they find problems. People in the federal government will try to find things. I mean, I'll find the most. They even brag about it. And I remember that inspectors and everything. So on my last inspection I had in Toledo at the 180th, shout out to the 180th Fighter Wing. Great guys. Love you guys. 121st and the 178th. Those are all my brothers. So at the 180th, I got a perfect inspection for the electro-environmental shop. We all worked as a team. We got it done. Guess what happened? My chief said, oh, I bet I could find something in there. Well, that's not the point. I already passed, you know, the IG inspection, and we had two different groups come in. What more do you need? We met and exceeded the standards, and that's what this is all about. But there's always somebody who thinks they can do better. But my point is, why are you working here then? Because it's not a glamorous job or anything. It's like anybody, you think about it, just like our vice president, if you're a public servant, that tells me one thing. You're not good enough to be a private making real money. That's just my opinion. It doesn't mean it's true, but it's just my opinion. If you're a doctor working for the federal government or some other profession, then are you good enough? That's the only thing I have against the, military doctors. Nobody goes to the military to become a doctor. Nobody becomes a doctor to join the military, so they get what they can. They usually take 100 people at a time, ship them to this school in San Antonio, and whoever comes out a doctor is a doctor. I had doctors that were former sheet metal guys, former public relations, if they're smart enough to go through. But you see what I'm saying? It doesn't work. There's no market for it. There's no market economy. So, and at the same time, the medical part of the military, for me, which I spent a lot of time with my injuries when I was injured in Africa, they're probably the most lacking, but you don't expect to have great service or great attorneys because that's just the way it is. The money's not there. The drive's not there. It's a job for them. So, but see, what you get is, in my opinion, substandard care. If I was lucky and fortunate enough because I was guard and I was civilian. I used my regular doctor, but I had to see the military doctor. And there was a big disparity between the two. It was so glaring. Just the same thing with the VA. Now the VA has gotten better. I was just there, 3 days ago, getting an exam. They've gotten better. They're moving a lot faster since the former president put things together and fixed things that were broken. But when I started in 14, and now this is a huge, gigantic government agency, trying to get everything through the VA is a monumental task. The whole thing is ridiculous. It was back then. I don't know how it is now. I see things can be a little better. But the VA is not, in my opinion, your friend, okay? The VA is their job back in 14 was to make sure you didn't get what you deserve. And that's sad because all these veterans are hurting after the war. I mean, they've served their lives, and some of them have lost limbs, and, you know, they're suffering from PTSD. Well, believe it or not, you have to have an attorney to represent you for your claims cases. And in my case, I had to use the American Legion. They have their own attorneys. You can't do it on your own. It's very hard. I think things have changed for the better. But it's just amazing how they treat our veterans. And it's a government agency that's supposed to help us. So what does that say? Have they lost their focus? I think they have. The purpose of some of these agencies are different than their actual, you know, their actual mission that they're supposed to be doing. And I've seen this, and it's amazing how they can do this to my brothers and sisters. Well, another big agency that had that kind of problem was the agency that takes care of federal employees, and it's almost the same thing. So, caller has a question. So, OMB, OPM, Office of Personnel Management, and that was the agency that took care of federal employees. And nobody, while I was trying to get to through my disability, which is a whole other monster on its own, for a federal employee, nobody knew the beginning to the end of, you know, how the process went. So nobody had an answer. Nobody knew the process. You could call people and you get one answer, two answers, three answers from three different people, and none of them are right. And they know that they're not right. They don't care. And I have the same thing. I talked to other people and they said the same thing. They gave me the wrong answer, or they say they're going to give me this, and it never happens. Why? Because they don't have to. They got a job. They don't have to be nice to you. They don't have any kind of economic balance or anything. They just do their job, and they go home. They don't have to keep you happy, make you happy. They don't. It's the same thing with the doctors and the military. They don't have to make you happy. Some are downright mean. I don't know why. I mean, I've struggled. So there is something wrong with the way these are going. Things are going. And I named four or five agencies. And do they have, these agencies have any kind of accountability? Yes, they do. Guess who accounts for them? It is the Office of Accountability, the GAO, Government Accountability Office. They're the guys who tell you how much you can spend, how much money is allocated for your particular unit or shop position, and they tell you what kind of furniture to buy. So, what happened? They went a few years ago to Las Vegas on a boondoggle, spent nearly $800,000 on nothing worth going to or taking a trip out for, I don't know, some kind of community thing or whatever. These guys are the same people that made us, you know, work with no heat in the hangar, had to buy prison furniture. That's right. Most federal employees on our level, we got our furniture from prisons. Very rarely could we order anything. And our clothes are from the Lighthouse for the Blind. So you have, beyond what we were living, no way of accountability. And they got caught. They got caught somewhere. I arrested the same thing. These are agencies that are so rogue. And why do we have an IRS to begin with? What happened to the way we funded ourselves before? Why can't we? What is the problem? I mean, why are we giving all of this money to things that don't matter when we're only allocated for the military? And I can see cooperating with states, with freeways and everything. So, yeah, it's, these things can't be fixed unless we control them. We, as American people, need to be oversight because they belong to us. We are the government, but it doesn't look like we are now. Look at your governors. They're rogue. Some of them are out of their mind. They don't care about what you think. I'm not defending anybody. Our governor of Ohio, I thought he was bad until I saw everybody else. So, but he, he's got a good head on his shoulders compared to these other New York, California, and all these other places, Oregon. But they're clearly not stewards of their job. And you're right, James, fixing broken agencies should be our job. So what happened was all these government agencies morphed into something else. And so they started voting for their own, you know, kingdomship. So I don't know how that happened, but you can't vote yourself a raise anywhere else. So how can we counteract that? How can we get rid of that? So these broken agencies, can they be fixed? I don't know. Is it too late? I don't think it is. I think we just need to restructure. And guess what? Who's going to restructure that? It's probably got to go through Congress. It's got to be originated in Congress, so it'll never happen. Term limits, the same thing. Is there a way to do it? There's got to be a way. We got to bring our country back to where it was. So I want to play a little game with James.
And possibly, hey, hey, I'm right here.
Our other engineer. So, James, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me all right?
James and Melissa, are you on board?
Hello. I think I'm here. Hello.
So
Kevin,
while we're doing
can you
that,
hear me
I
all
want
right?
to, let's talk about something else. You know, people always criticize this country and what we have and what we do and what we don't have, and we're not this, we're not that. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been all over the world. This is the best country in the world. Hands down. Now, you can have the nice architecture in Europe and everything, but guess what? Either you're rich or you're poor there. There's no in between. I was in Paris in 2018. That's what I saw, and that's what I was told. Things were going, and or it's abject poverty. But you can get out. There are systems you cannot get out of your poverty. You can be anything you want here. It doesn't matter what color you are. Black doesn't matter. And by the way, yes, I am black, but you know what? I was able to get online. And lately we hear about, you know, people in the rural areas don't have photocopy machines by the vice president. I mean, all these things are insulting, you know. I should be, or us, we black people should be totally insulted, and the Hispanics, because we're told we can't get online and we can't find a CVS pharmacy to get our vaccines. And it seems like we are the targets of the vaccine by the government. And they're purposely making these commercials and ads and appealing to minority communities. And that's another red flag for me. I have to throw down the gauntlet here. This is not what this is all about. Why can't we just be people? Why do we have to look at the skin color every time there's a crime? Oh, you're on. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Why does skin color have to matter so we can judge to see how to present the news? A black man was shot by a white cop. Even if there's a black cop that shot, you know, his partner there, it doesn't matter. So there's a question in the queue.
Yes.
So what
there
is the question? Sorry, I got a little question here from a guest in the audience.
Caller, you're on.
And so that brings up, you know, other things like cancel culture. Cancel culture, in my opinion, is racist. Why is it racist? Because they target black people and minorities. You'll never see it with females. You'll never see it with whites. It's always about blacks and about Indians. Indians as well. Indians, anybody who's got a uniform on, high school or whatever, with an Indian on it, they're coming after you next. So it's all about – no, James, I cannot hear you.
So, how about now? Can you hear me at this point?
Like I said, this is all about other people taking our rights away as minorities. I think I'm wondering why we don't have more protests and people complaining about this. It's just, in my opinion, this is like one of the biggest crimes of the century, and people take this cancel culture as something that's okay. Statues? Erasing people from history? Keeping the black man down? Those are the people who are really keeping the black man down, if there was such a thing as keeping the man down. So I don't know how this is ever going to stop. It's never going to stop. As long as people see color, they're going to keep doing it. And that's why I call this a simple man's solution. And you'll see that this is like I say in my book, Growing Up White, people are just primitive with technology, because all we see, we judge people how they see us first. So we have to change our thoughts, but is it even possible? I don't know. So no, James, I don't hear what you guys are hearing.
Okay. Can you hear me now, Kevin?
Let's carry on. If you want to play this game, maybe we can do it. I don't know. But I cannot hear. Let's see here.
Let's go ahead and play.
Let's try
Kevin.
It.
Let's go ahead and play.
James, Melissa, is it constitutional for somebody to tell you to take the vaccine or lose your job?
No. No, absolutely not. You know, there are a number of I guess I'm on. No, I would disagree. I would say that there's absolutely no way that there is any kind of constitutional permission that would be given to the government. No.
They have nothing to do.
No, I don't.
Thank you very much, Melissa. Thank you. You're so right. They have no right to pick what you do. The only thing they have the right to do is pick their own nose. Okay? That's the only business they need to take care of. And this is why, one of the reasons I keep talking about the government being too large, and you're seeing this every day through this whole pandemic. The government has gone rogue more than usual. No, it is not constitutional. You are right. Is it constitutional for, I'm not going to say the government, but social media to censor your posts? Thank you, Melissa. So this part of the Constitution, okay, free speech, that amendment applies to everything. Now, if you know, they always say about, you know, shouting fire in a theater, but you're taking away speech. And sometimes, like, I've been censored on Facebook for quoting things from the CDC that I was told that, you know, I got warnings for. It actually cut off my podcast for 30 days. And what I quoted was straight from their website. So how does that work? So what they're doing is they are violating the Constitution, and they are rightfully so being pursued by the president or former president Trump, or you could say president now, some people do. This is the reason why I think they have a case. And this will change all this censorship for good, and for the good. So do we have the right to alter votes, use inappropriate methods of voting, making up on your own? That's so anti-constitutional. I know what your answer is going to be. These voting machines that we all see and the audits that are happening are bringing out some pretty scary stuff. It's very sobering what's going on in the background, or what happened on November 3rd. And it is not constitutional. You're violating people's rights. And the, one of the rights that I always talk about is for the pursuit of happiness. Now, the Lockean version is pursuit of property. And guess what? You get property, you can put your home on it and raise cattle, and that can bring you happiness that you want. And like, that's your own little world, your privacy. Now, and these are things that we value. And when you shut down my bar or my club at 10 p.m. or Walmart, for that fact, you're taking away my living, my right to shop, my right to enjoy life, and you're taking away people's property. Same thing with these protesters that go around looting and killing. I think 40 blacks were killed during the BLM riots, and they lost their businesses, and those businesses are their constitutional right to have in this country. You can't take that away from them. You can't just arbitrarily and go unpunished. That's the thing. They're going unpunished. Taking over a whole city is against our constitution. It's against God's law. You don't do that. You don't raise a hand against somebody who's not your enemy. And these are people we call enemies, foreign and domestic. So, yeah, speaking of ID, another insulting thing that they threw against blacks, and, you know, we can't get an ID. I had a friend of mine on Facebook tell me, you know, the reason why we can't do this is because most blacks can't get an ID. And I said, so you're telling me that black people are too stupid to get an ID? Everybody who's on welfare, everybody who's on assistance, disability, has to have an ID, right? So who is not, who does not have an ID? Some bum on the street? You can get something. Why is everything, and that's a really big, huge subject, why is everything on the backs of blacks? Because, why? Because they won't say anything. They're not going to fight back. They'll go right along with whatever mainstream media says and not complain. Put y'all back in chains. This is not 1863. Comments like that and generalizing every black person as the same, it's very insulting. Why isn't everyone up in arms on this? Why do people accept this? Why do they accept the fact that Hillary didn't really have hot sauce in her purse when she was at the Breakfast Club? So they're playing with it. They're panderers. And that's all they do. They're really good at it because people buy it. That's the most frustrating thing. Listen to what people say, not for who they are, just because they have a D in front of the name doesn't mean anything to me. Now look at your gas prices. They're going up. They're skyrocketing. Why? Because you believe that one president was more evil than the other candidate. But listen to what they're saying about you. What are they saying about, you know, what they perceive you as? They, like, some of these people think your kids are roaches. How crazy is that? But you accept it. I'm talking to my black people out there, my black folks. Why do you think it's okay for politicians to insult you on live TV, at debates, sort of conference calls or whatever? Why do you think that's okay? Why do you think it's okay for your VP in California to put many blacks in jail that the blacks in her own state do not support her? Why are you putting up with this? My message to my fellow brothers and sisters of blacks is this. Be your own person. Don't go with the crowd. That's one of the most dangerous things. That's what I learned. That's what Oreos do. We don't belong to the crowd. We become our own people. Be your own person. People say, what's it like to be a black conservative? I don't know. I'm a black constitutionalist, not a black conservative. People say they're conservative, but they're not. You can't hide not being a constitutionalist, but you can hide being a conservative. And that, there are so many variants of being conservative. What really are you? What do you stand for? So what is wrong? And I see the things are changing. I mean, we don't really know the true votes, but I believe many more blacks voted, just like Hispanics, everybody. And I know a lot of people in the Jexit organization and Lexit and Blexit. I am actually, I am a Blexit Ohio, official as a advisor. And we have meetings and we talk about things like these. We want to get people out of the mindset. It's not about turning people Republican. It's about think it for yourself, because the Democrat Party has, or let me say, the non-constitutionalists have such a grip on minorities. It's incredible. Maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome. I don't know. But it's an unhealthy relationship. I even wrote an article. By the way, I write articles for the CBJ, John DeLimmy's publication. And one of the things I wrote about was the unhealthy relationship between blacks and the Democrat Party, or blacks and the unconstitutionalists. And it's amazing what people put up with. But yeah, I get criticized for doing things like this, for saying things, because, well, I'm not down for the cause. I've heard that so many times in my life because I'm an Oreo. That's just another factor that I deal with. But think about it. Be an individual. If you have a good education, which some blacks don't encourage, then you can be anything you want. Nobody's not going to hire you if you have the skills to do jobs that they're looking for that are in demand, especially now. And so that's what I do. I talk to younger kids and people in college. So I say, hey, the sky's the limit. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. Be yourself. Choose something, you know, that's marketable. You're smart kid, and don't let anybody tell you that you're not. So these are the things that we need to teach each other. And I try to do that. I mean, I try to separate people from the prison they're in to the reality that things are not what they seem, what you see on TV. Things are not what they seem. And one of the ways I learned this is because I see what a lot of black pastors will just blow things out to the left direction, and they'll support whatever candidate is a Democrat or anti-constitutional. It doesn't make any sense because the people are very conservative. Blacks are very conservative. The women, maybe not as much, but at the same time, why are they going this direction? It's like, you're choosing your own. It's the same thing with the Blexit, or the Jexit movement. Most of the Jewish people are Democrats, but that's their enemy, but they don't understand that. How can that be? It's just a thing. And the only way to change this is to say, look, I'm not a Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. Your rights are being violated over and over. Think about this. Every time there's a non-constitutionalist in office, they don't talk about reparations. As soon as the Constitutional Party gets in, it's all about reparations in the background because they never want to do it. They don't want them to get ahead. It's a trick. And I tell people all the time, they're not talking about it now. They only talk about it during the election, and then they drop it. They'll never bring it back up because they don't want people to be free. It's probably the worst thing you can do. The biggest handout, like reparations, is probably the worst thing you can do for anyone anyway. Nobody here has been a slave that's alive or a slave owner. It's time to move on. This is my opinion. So, I mean, look what we did to the Indians. We just pretty much threw them away. And it's a sad chapter. We need to bring real unity to this country. Just like every Sunday, churches are segregated, communities are segregated. So in my book, I talk about that. If I move to a white community, I get criticized for doing that, for not living and staying in the black community, which I never actually lived in. But people tell me, you know what? You're not really down for us. Well, I'm down for myself. I'm down for the Constitution. While you were doing nothing, I was overseas fighting in a war. I'm my own person. You should be your own person, too. It's about us as Americans. It's we, the people. That's why it says we, the people. It's not they, the leaders, and then us, the peons. It's we, the people. That's how we're supposed to run. And the biggest irony I can leave with you here is this. The military is the only institution that actually works 100%. They get their missions, and they work as one team, as one unit, as if they are the same. All branches work together. Yet, they are a dictatorship. They have no freedoms. You do what you're told. You be where you're supposed to be. And people love it because they join it because they want to. Isn't that ironic? You don't own your own self. You belong to the government. You belong to the people. We the people. We are the defense of the United States. And trust me, when it comes down to it, they're going to back us up. Even if maybe they're doing it now. We don't know. A lot of things, strange things happen, you know, during the up in Washington with the National Guard that don't make any sense. Saluting and everything. And I see a lot of things that don't look. So we have a caller on hold. 15 minutes. So what is the question? We only have 3 minutes left. Let's see here. Sorry about those grenades. I've been throwing, and it's not about offending anybody. It's just that's just the way I see things. Things that are frustrating me and things that I think need fixed. Is some states forcing people to take the COVID vaccines constitutional? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I cannot hear the caller for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Hello. I'm here.
Absolutely not.
Can you hear me, sir?
Okay, you can. Absolutely not. It's not constitutional. You know, in other countries like Israel, countries like Israel and the Philippines, they're holding people down and giving them their shots. And it's very scary. That could happen here. I hope it doesn't. That's when you know all your rights are gone. All the way up. All our rights will be gone by then. And that's the thing about the military. We, the people in the military, will be there for us. People will do the right thing. Let humans be humans. They have a good sense by themselves. They can take care of their own business. The very last words on the last page of my book, Growing Up White, is this. Cultivate your own garden. You know what that means is mind your own business and do your thing. Be who you are. You can only be what you are, and you are what you are, and it isn't what you isn't. So I hope you guys enjoyed that show, and I know we only have a few seconds left. I appreciate everybody for joining in and listening, and we'll get our sound together next time, hopefully. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you, crew. You guys are awesome. You guys are amazing. So thank you. I'm very happy to be part of the team. Thank you very much.
You are listening to Patriot Nation.
Anybody there? Anybody hear me?
Listening to the Patriot Nation Radio Show, Radio Network, with Kevin White. Tune in next week for another episode.
Hey, who's on?
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, who's this?
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark, how are you? First time hearing your voice.
I was going to come on with a question. I was going to be coming on as a surprise, but for some reason, the microphone, you weren't hearing us.
I cannot hear. I hear everything. I cannot hear that. I don't know why that is. I don't understand that. These are nice headsets. I don't get it.
It's odd. I don't know. I don't use headsets. I do the show just straight with my phone all the time. I used to use headphones, but I stopped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't use headphones. But.
I usually don't either, but I was told that it's better to use it, so
yeah,
I won't next time. I should have just pulled them out.
But it was a great job. It sounded great.
Thanks. Yeah, I enjoyed
anyway,
that.
We are on the radio show right now, and people listen to the playback. They're going to hear this. So we'll say this. Folks, thanks for tuning in to American Allegiance with Kevin White. Tune in next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Until we meet again, folks, thanks and good night. God bless America. And then you go like this.